today on Real Radio.
And so the fears of being a kid, we can't enumerate all those fears, but listen, young people today, you take your fears and you understand something. Wait a minute. God made me. He knows me. I'm not an accident. And my Bible says that God can take care of my fears. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon me, upon him, because he cares for you. What a great promise that is.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Life and Bible with a message entitled, Being a Christian While Being a Kid. You know, we all have numerous positions in life, but being a Christian really carries with it a whole new kind of responsibility. The Bible tells us that knowing God's will for our lives requires wisdom and spiritual understanding. But deeper still, we need to know how to put what we've learned into action. We're all children of our parents, right? And as Christians, we are all God's kids. With that being said, what we experience as children shapes who we are as adults. Our childhood may not have been so great. Still, we have a choice on how the past is going to impact our future. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there are no perfect families. We all make mistakes. That's why God's Word is designed to lead us and show us the way. Bible principles begin in the home. It's where Christianity becomes reality. And now in his message called Being a Christian While Being a Kid, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God says this is what a family is. And why is that important? Because a family is where children learn how to become adults. It's how they learn how to be citizens. It's how they learn how to be servants. It's how they learn how to be people in a family. It's important. Isaiah 54:13 says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. That takes place in a family. Now look, let's all confess together. I'll just confess for you. There are no perfect families. You say, Pastor, I came from a dysfunctional home. We've all come from dysfunctional homes. Every one of them. To be dysfunctional means not normal. What's normal? Your home, you say, well, my home's normal. Well, if I see your home, it may not be normal to me. You come over to my house and it's like, man, your house is not normal. Well, it's normal to me. The truth is, normal, when we get home to heaven, that's going to be normal. Normal's going to be radical, by the way. But until we get there right now, there is no perfect mom. There is no perfect dad. Both of them make mistakes. Kids, you need to understand that. And by the way, you do too, Junior. And Miss America, you make mistakes too. But the truth of the matter is, God's Word is designed to lead us and guide us. And of course, we're talking about the context of this being a Christian family. Very important. It's inside a Christian home that kids learn about God, teamwork, acceptance, unity, labor, as I mentioned, ethics, values, encouragement. I want to read that again. Kids, listen. Parents, are you listening? It's in the Christian home that kids learn about teamwork, about God, acceptance, unity, labor, ethics, values, and encouragement. Do you think they're going to get that in school? Are you kidding? Do we package up our youth and send them off to school thinking that in about 9 or 10 hours they're going to come back and they're going to be fit for human life? Are you kidding? Listen, I know we have some great public school teachers in this audience, and I thank God for you. You're the exception. Thank God for you. But most of the time, we got to reel our kids back in from public school and detox them or fix them from the stuff they're learning. And I'm just getting warned up about that. So if that hurts you, you need to leave now. Because I'm going to be heading off to something pretty soon that's going to shake that up. But this is a very, very important thing. Inside your family is where Christianity becomes a reality to your kids. You guys, your kids, and the kids tonight that are here, I would think they would say amen to this. They don't want to hear you talk about Christianity. They want to see it in the family. And this is an important thing. Don't you dare, mom and dad, come to church on Sunday and raise your hands and sing songs to God when you've been slapping each other around all week or living an ungodly life. Get your home in order first and tell your kids you're sorry. Tell your kids, ask them, will you forgive us for being absolute horrible witnesses for Jesus? We have not been living right. Kids know this stuff. They see it. They hear it. Yes, there's no perfect home. There's no sinless house. But a real house, a real home where Christians live, love God. Warts and all, they love God. And the kids can say, you know what? My dad's weird. My mom is strange. But they love God. My home's not perfect, but you know what? Come to think of it, I wouldn't trade it for any other home. What's wrong with that? Kids deserve that. Kids want that. Number three, the fears of being a kid. What are the fears of being a kid? These are too long to enumerate. The fears of being a kid. And I thought about this long and hard. Afraid of the dark. Those are the easy things. Afraid of the dark. You can turn on a light. Afraid of the wind. Sounds. Afraid of what's under your bed. Lint and dust. But you think about things like that. It's tremendous. It's big. It's overwhelming. You say, Jack, you know, that's silly. Don't ever tell your kid, go to your room. There's nothing to be afraid about. Don't tell your kid that. My mom, God bless her. She's in heaven right now, and I'm happy that she's there. I can't wait to see her. But for those of you who have this kind of upbringing, remember, you're going to know in a moment, boy, you did not grow up in a normal home, did you? My mom, because she was born and raised in Hawaii, she didn't own a pair of shoes until she was 17 years of age. She was raised in an orphanage in Honolulu. And so if you saw my mom, you'd be surprised, because even to her dying day, it was hard for her to put shoes on. She just wouldn't wear shoes. A lot of the Hawaiian culture made it over into our life here in California, from what we eat to what those kinds of things. Having said that, my mom, never having a home, when she got a home, she took care of it meticulously. My mom scrubbed our home perfectly clean. You couldn't find dust anywhere in our house. You'd come up to the front door, you'd take your shoes off and come in the house. The house was spotless. Now, my mom would clean my room. My mom would clean my room to the day I got married. My mom cleaned my room. It's not that I couldn't clean my room. My mom loved to clean. But when I was a little kid, parents don't ever do this. My mom would say, stay out of your room. I just cleaned it. Okay, I would leave the room, and then all day long, Mom, I'm going to get something out of my room. Stay out of your room. I just cleaned it. And if I pushed the envelope, she would say, listen, now I'm talking about little here, but don't ever do this. My mom would say, don't go in there. The menahunes will get you. Now, menahunes in Hawaiian, those are demons. And I knew that. Then it's nighttime. It's time to go to bed. And my mom would say, it's time to go to bed. You guys, it was terrifying. I make light of it now, but I'm telling you, it scared me to death. And I remember going into my room and going, like Spider-Man, to jump from the threshold into my bed, because they would come out from under the bed and grab me. When you're little, you think like that. That's just one thing, and we laugh at that stuff because we can relate to it. But I'm talking about fear factors that can overpower a kid. Most of them come in school, and all the things that school brings. Maybe it's the status that is placed upon kids today. How much does your mom and dad make? What kind of car do you guys drive? Peer pressure, your body. Man, when you're going through that age group of where that happens, your body's freaking out. I would never want to live through that time again, ever. You're having thoughts. What was that thought? Unbelievable stuff. Zits. What is that? My skin's getting sore right here. And you get your first zit. What in the world? And then somebody at school goes, you got a zit. It's horrible. Friends. Do you have any friends? How do you know? Who's my friend? I thought you were my friend. A lot of weird stuff going on. The looks, the clothes, all the pressure. But young people today have it very hard. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." You're not an accident, kiddo. God knows exactly who you are. "Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. I'm a young person. Who's going to listen to me? I'm not going to do that. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." God knows you. He was there assembling you in the womb. And so the fears of being a kid, we can't enumerate all those fears, but listen, young people today, you take your fears and you understand something. Wait a minute. God made me. He knows me. I'm not an accident. And my Bible says that God can take care of my fears. In 1 Peter 5:7, write it down. It's not on the screen. 1 Peter 5:7, the Bible says, "Cast all your cares upon me, upon him, because he cares for you." What a great promise that is. Young people today, take your fear. And the word means to heave, by the way. To take like a shot put or a rock or a pillow. Take a pillow and throw your cares and worries and concerns to God. Let him catch them. Number four, things kids deal with today are different than ever before. They face constant bombardment of what they believe. If they're Christian kids and the school knows about it, or the peers know about it, they're going to be harassed, made fun of. The kids are taught the Bible in Sunday school, maybe in the youth group, maybe mom and dad read the Bible with them during the week. That's awesome. But remember, your kids are released into that godless, atheistic, Christless system for a long time every day. And that is a very serious thing, because in next week's message, actually next week we have communion, but the week after that we'll be getting into what it is to be a Christian on the campus, from school to university to college campuses. What does it mean? What can you expect? And our kids need to be prepared in junior high and high school for what's coming. The things that kids have to deal with today, it's absolutely amazing. It's terrible. I'll mark a few. How their time is spent. Most of the time it's unmonitored. It's wasted time. Media, the things that bombard our kids regarding media. So much so that the things that they see today, it's nothing, you guys. It's nothing for them. If they see a girl or a guy that is barely dressed, you go, oh my goodness. And they go, what? If you hear something, kids today are hearing lyrics to songs that in this incredibly hypocritical nation of ours, that if you get your radio license operating certificate, I have that, and you have to sign a federal document if you're going to operate a radio over federal airways, you cannot use profanity. I'm all for that. And then you turn right around, and there's songs that young kids are listening to that are so verbally, graphically pornographic that it would shock you to death what they're saying. But that's okay. But our kids are being pounded with that stuff. Games. It is an absolute sociological provable fact that kids who watch, for example, violent games for a certain period of time wind up going out and being all excited, all pent up, plus with no action, with no activity. They've got all kinds of energy, and without monitoring and protection and control, they often go violent. And the statistics are overwhelming as the parity to what they view and what they do. It's amazing. In our culture, our law enforcement agencies and our judges and our courts and our leaders are saying, why is America getting so violent? We just can't figure it out. Are you kidding me? But you can't say things like that because it upsets people. But kids deal in a life today that none of us had to deal with. It's very interesting. Movies, music, internet. Your kids are being forced and pressured to accept homosexual or alternative lifestyles in school against your wishes, against their religion. But if it was something other than, if it was their religious conviction that fill in the blank, that would be honored. We live in a world where good is bad and bad is good. And our kids cannot differentiate what's going on. According to data gathered by Exodus International, almost all those who are gay and lesbian today confess to experiencing some form of child sexual abuse in their early years. Did you know that? I found that interesting. Also, today's secular culture has succeeded in the dumbing down of America's youth. The system has sought to destroy the vision and the passion of our kids today by telling them, listen, that they can't excel or rise above the standard. They need to conform. And when I read that, I thought, you know what? What an amazing thing. Can you imagine telling Bill Gates, don't rise above the standards. You need to conform and don't go above the line. You need to don't excel. Can you imagine telling Sir Isaac Newton, don't be smarter than everybody else. Don't pursue. What happened to our passion for excellence? Our young kids need to be excited about being excellent again. They need to be passionate about being creative and being, listen, this is almost anathema in our culture. We're so European to be an independent thinker now. We have to remind our kids, don't get like us. I want you to be an independent thinker. Think outside the box. Be radical. Invent something. What happened to that? Our system, our public system, is causing our kids to conform and to not rise above the line lest you be penalized. It's not right. Today's parents send their children off to school to hopefully learn something. Amidst the violence, the distractions, the political correctness, and the indoctrination of lifestyles, issues, revised history, and anti-Christian biases. I read that. That's a quote stolen from Mark Levin's new book, Liberty Versus Tyranny. And I was quoting him just a second ago, and he's not even a believer as far as I know. Philippians chapter 4, young people, mark it down. Philippians 4:13 says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The truth is, young people today are much smarter and stronger and teachable than our culture allows them to be. I believe that. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, young people, the Bible says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will is." What a great, great statement for young people today. Number 5, the pressure to fit in. This is a big one. Kids, remember this. Remember the status, the peer pressure, your body, the zits, the friends, the looks, the clothes. The pressure to fit in is huge. So check this out. Number 1, you will never fit in. I want to be the first one to tell you. I know you've thought it, but you need to hear this. You will never fit in with your friends fully because your friends don't fit in. The world that's trying to conform you to march like they march, you will never be accepted in that world. You'll never fit in. And tonight, you can be here and not be a Christian. This still applies to you. Every young person desires to fit in. By the way, adults do it too when they haven't found themselves in Christ yet. Adults do that too. They just learn how to disguise it better. But young people, listen, you'll never fit in to what your friends want you to be because your friends have not fit in yet either. They can't fit in. Because the target is always moving about what's cool. In fact, you know what's cool about being older? I have watched bell bottoms be no such thing. Then they come into being, and then they go away, and then they come back, and then they go in, they come back. And then, listen, I remember watching my sister come home wearing tie-dyed outfits. Right? Remember those days? No, we don't want to remember those days. And then you see that again. And didn't Solomon say there's nothing new under the sun? It's amazing. Things just come and go, fashions, just hang on to your clothes. They'll come back around. They'll be back in. Just wait. It's absolutely amazing. Well, Pastor, I need to fit in because my friends don't think I'm cool. Guess what? They're going through the same fears you're going through because the target's constantly moving. Madison Avenue sees to it that it's constantly moving. And just when you think you fit in and you're cool, how long does it last? About a week. And then the target moves. Somebody else is cool. Why? Because nobody fits in. The only way that you can fit in is find out that who you are in Jesus. That's the only way you're going to fit in. Here's the cool thing. The way that you fit in is when you don't care that you fit in. Jack, that's called a nerd, and I'm not going to be like that. No. I'm not talking about nerd or not nerd. I'm talking about realizing, you know what? Young people, listen, I'm telling you. The people at your school, the way they walk around, the way they portray themselves, he's cool. You know what? You don't know nothing about him. I'm telling you, he's dying on the inside. She is so cool. No, she's not. You don't know what's going on. And they're looking at people saying, he and she is so cool. The target's constantly moving. Know who you are in Jesus. Have that walk, relationship. Invest in it. You'll never regret it, ever. Number six is this, what my friends are doing. Very few people on this planet will have friends that remain less still even for a lifetime. Friendships are amazing things, but listen, here's the deal. Friendships will radically influence us. So listen, young people, make sure, this sounds so parental what I'm saying, make sure you carefully pick your friends. Here's the reason why. You will adopt what your friends are doing, even if you don't agree with what your friends are doing. You will be forced by pressure to go along with them. So be very careful. And then understand this. Be careful who you pick as friends. Watch them. Be careful. Guard your loyalties and trust. Don't give them away so easy. But check this out too. As much as they are influencing you, you will influence others. It's absolutely equal. It may express itself differently. One, maybe you're very, very verbose or outgoing, and everybody, you know, who's like that gets attention. Don't think that that person has the corner market on influencing others. God has made you who you are, and you can influence, and you will influence other people if you realize it or not. But be very careful who you pick as friends, because what they do, you will either get blamed for it or you will carry on with it and actually do it. The Bible warns about this.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Being a Christian While Being a Kid. We're glad you're spending time with us today. And don't forget, as God's kids, we are valuable to Him. So let's make our lives count. Being a Christian While Being a Kid is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, if you're a young person or maybe just young at heart and you've got a few questions about God, maybe the Bible, or you've got some spiritual issues in your life that you could use some guidance with, we'd like to help. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and follow the prompts simply called Got Questions. You can write your own question, or you can view our top 20 most commonly asked Bible questions. Again, it's called Got Questions, and you'll find that at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.